It is July 1971, and I, freshly arrived in London from South Africa, am in a persistent state of wonderment. My own bedsit, a job writing feature articles in Fleet Street, the Fleet Street of my dreams. Tube trains, television. I am 21 and living my most enormous adventure. So I keep telling myself, resolutely casting aside the alternative reality of bleak nights alone, the fact that my journalism mostly involves writing fake horoscopes for syndication, and that my radio rental's telly emits sporadic puffs of smoke. But still, I am here. I have defiantly turned my back on parochial Port Elizabeth and the repressive apartheid regime. Back home are my parents, who see themselves as right-thinking, but pay their domestic servant a pittance and teach me it's futile to try and change the world. Back home is the so-called liberal newspaper, The Evening Post, on which I have cut my journalistic teeth. I know theoretically that opposition to apartheid can be dangerous, but my experience of police brutality is limited to icy non-cooperation when I use English instead of faltering Afrikaans. I am less naive than ostrich-like, just young and entitled and low on self-awareness. And one day, when I'm scouring a second-hand bookstall for something to read, it is for amusement rather than enlightenment. The last thing I want is to be cast back to the troubled country I am so relieved to have left. But the battered volume that catches my eye is irresistible. Violent slashes of black ink against a white background. 117 days in stark red. And along the top, in alternating black and red block letters, an account of confinement and interrogation under the South African 90-day detention law. The author, Ruth First. In South Africa, this is banned literature. Even here, 6,000 miles away, my mouth feels dry and my hand trembles as I retrieve it and furtively hand over the cash. I'm not sure whether the thrill of acquiring contraband is greater than my curiosity to read First's account. By that night, however, I am no longer in doubt. I'm riveted, shaken to the core in a way that I've never experienced, in a way that will never leave me. While I was cocooned in white suburbia, Ruth First, like me, the daughter of Eastern European Jewish immigrants, dared to stand up and be counted. She was punished. How brutally she was punished. In 1963, the year that I started at the all-white collegiate school for girls, she was held for 4 months in solitary confinement. This spare and powerful account of interrogation, deprivation, and psychological torture is excruciating. Compelling. I was suspended in limbo, unknowing, unreached, I read. The 90-day law recognized no demarcation of its territory, no delimiting of its power. All were within its grasp, and the possibilities of its use to intimidate and destroy both the committed and the innocent on the sidelines were more frightening than I had realized. First was released after 90 days and allowed to walk out of jail, then immediately rearrested and subjected to intensified interrogations. Afraid she would say something revealing, she wrote a farewell note to her family, then swallowed a vial of pills. She was surprised when she woke up. And I, with more shock than surprise, have been rudely awakened, propelled by her words and experience into an awareness of the horrors that can lurk behind the most bland-seeming interior. Denial, I realize, is a form of deception, of collusion. I am as much moved by Ruth First's account as outraged by the repressive forces that caused it to be banned. And while I cannot fight against these forces, First's heroism is beyond me. The life-changing impact of her words is my fierce determination to write, to tell the truth. My bravery, I resolve, will lie in writing with unflinching candor about what I see and perceive.